Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Stop and Show, we're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the team 980. And just after 5 o'clock, it's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
My guy Varun Shankar from the Washington Post, their Wizards beat reporter, joins us now. He was there last night as the Wizards took two in the first round. And Varun, you were the last person I talked to before I left yesterday, just before the draft started when we were doing the show live there. And I told you, Trey Johnson was my guy. And then they ultimately go and take him. So clearly I'm just clairvoyant. One, that we, I feel like we need to just establish that with the Washington Post for the record. But two, ultimately, why do you think that, really, I think both Johnson, let's separate them first. Why do you think Trey Johnson was the pick for Will Dawkins and crew at number six?
Yeah, we've seen a pretty clear trend with the Wizards draft picks since Dawkins and Winger took over. This is their third draft now. They have gone for players with positional size and good feel for the position. Feel is kind of this amorphous thing that I define as they don't look totally lost on the basketball court. They look like they have some level of skill. They have some spatial awareness. And I think that every player the Wizards have drafted has had some degree of that. I think with Johnson, another differentiating factor is this is one of the best shooters we've seen come out of the draft in a little bit. I mean, not only is he someone who can be a really effective catch and shoot guy, he's someone who can go off the dribble, moving off screens. He is, like, I truly do think he is one of the best shooters we've seen in the last few drafts.
So what does that do for them? Because they haven't had a guy like this, and they also haven't drafted a guy like this. So to me, on some level, Varun, this is a fascinating experiment. And it goes back to, and again, I'm not meaning to make this about me and my takes, but like this happens to be a question that I asked Will in the postseason press conference about shooting and whether shooters can be taught because they have worked so hard with guys like Bilal, guys like Alex to improve their jump shot, or if it's something that's innate. And Will basically said, we can always up their level. We can take a poor shooter to an okay shooter, okay to good, good to great, great to elite. And they've never drafted in the great category before. Now that they have, what are your expectations?
You know, I'm going to look back on his end of season press conference because you were mostly right in what he said about the fact that you can go from bad to good. But I'm pretty sure he also noted that you actually can't teach a guy to become an elite shooter. I'm trying to pull up the transcript right now, but I think that's
exactly. He said, like, you can go from good. Like, if you're good, I can help make you a lot better. But like you have, there's a certain threshold that you either have it or you don't, and we can improve based off that. But the starting point is always going to be relevant.
Yeah, I think so. I think for them, they see elite shooting as a more innate trait. They think that they can turn bad shooters into above average shooters, but I don't think that you could turn anybody into an exceptional shooter. I think that you saw them value that with Johnson. I think there's also other stuff. Again, positional size is something you'll see the Wizards come back to again and again. They believe it gives you versatility. It gives you some defensive upside. And maybe just as importantly as defensive upside for a guy like Johnson, who's not right now a particularly good defender, it insulates him a little bit because it allows you some more versatility on who you can put him on during a game. You can, you know, he is, I think, you know, if you measured in at something like 6'4", but he's got like a 6'10 wingspan. He can guard conceivably, you know, 1 through 3.5, I would say, depending on where you want to stash him while he's on the floor. And that can be really effective for him to be insulated in a lot of ways. Think about size can be often a sword for players. They can use it to attack defensive matchups. But it can also be a shield. It can be something that protects you and allows you to reach a certain floor on defense that you might not be able to otherwise.
Varun Shankar, Washington Post, with us here on The Hoffman Show. Will Riley, the more I hear about him, the more I get it. Because I think on top of the positional size, which he certainly has, there's a competitiveness that has been a through line as well. And that seems to be the main feature of Will Riley, that he is just kind of a psycho competitor, psycho worker who's going to live in the gym. What are your impressions of Riley and why they ultimately decided on him at 21?
Yeah, I think with Riley, they were pretty impressed by his competitive nature in the pre-draft workout that he did with them. I think that they really relied more on his performance before he came to Illinois rather than what he showed at Illinois, because he showed more on-ball skills before he got to Illinois. He did a little bit at times, especially at times where Illinois was playing shorthanded. I think they liked his feel for the game. They liked the way that he had some guard skills as someone who had another late growth spurt. And so I think they saw that. They saw some shooting upside, and they decided that at that size, it was a worthy bet.
When you look at the backcourt now, there's Bub. There, obviously, Corey's still around. Whether you want to consider him backcourt or more of a wing player, I'll leave that to you. Obviously, CJ McCollum is coming in. And then you have the young guys. You have Bub. You now have these two guys as draftees. How do you think the rotation plays out this year? What expectations, if you have any at this point, do you have for how they'll play the 2025 season, even if we know these picks are much further into the future?
I think you see all these guys get a decent chunk of minutes. The Wizards really have a strong belief that the best way for players to learn is by getting NBA action early, even if they're not fully ready for it. They believe that getting thrown into the fire, as Brian Keefe said multiple times last year, is the best way to gain experience and figure out where you're falling short and that there's no substitute for in-game reps. With that being said, I do think that because there's more young players now, you're going to see a little bit more competition as the team starts to jostle for these starting spots. I'm really curious in how the battle of the Johnsons, Trey and AJ, shakes out, because, you know, I think Bub Carrington is pretty firmly established as someone who's going to be a starter this year. But after that, there's a second guard spot. There's a backup guard spot. I mean, it's really going to be interesting to see who carves out the lion's share in the rotation there.
And, you know, it's also funny, Varun, is like that just doesn't even count Marcus Smart, who as a current NBA basketball player is the best one of all of those. And I think sometimes we forget that because obviously these are vets, but like, because they're vets, they're better players. Like, these guys have been around. They know how to play. There's just an institutional knowledge on top of still great athleticism, even if it's not quite what it used to be, et cetera. Like, Marcus Smart's still a really good NBA player. Chris Middleton is a health concern, but is still a useful NBA player when it's out there. CJ McCollum, his numbers are not too dissimilar to Jordan Poole's. Like, he was averaging over 20 a game last year. So the veterans are there to mentor. They are also here to play on some level. Do you have any idea how much they will play and kind of the roles that they will play to help these rookies come along best that they can?
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw late in the season last year that the Wizards were pretty conservative with the amount of minutes they had Smart and Middleton in particular playing. There was a lot of rest days. There were a lot of days where those players might have been active. I can think of one game in Boston in particular where Smart was active but did not come into the game at all despite fans chanting for him to enter. And so, you know, I think that will continue because, again, the Wizards are going to prioritize this long-term development above all else.
And then last but not least, NBA free agency is around the corner. Do you expect the Wizards to do, like, what should we expect the Wizards to do? I'll put it that open-ended way and make my journalism professors proud.
It's a pretty, I don't expect any big moves from the Wizards in free agency. That's just not the way that the front office is operating at this point in time. I think they do have some space, and I think they'll use it on some players that can augment some parts of the roster or function as potential trade pieces down the line. Think about how they signed Jonas Valanciunas last year, and they didn't say it at the time, but a lot of the point of signing Jonas Valanciunas was so you could flip him at the deadline, and I think they'll do that again this year. Unclear who that player will be. This isn't based on reporting, but just kind of connecting some tea leaves. Kevon Looney is a big man who is a really good rebounder, something the Wizards really struggle with. And he was drafted while Travis Schlenk, who's now part of the Wizards front office, was in Golden State. I wouldn't be surprised if the Wizards potentially looked at him. I'm not sure what his market would be if he wanted to come to the Wizards, but I think that's someone that I'm keeping an eye on for.
That feels very smart. It does feel like the big man rotation has some space in it. So we shall see. Varun Shankar covering it all. Read his work, WashingtonPost.com/sports. Varun, good to see you last night, my friend, and we will talk soon.
Same to you. Talk to you later.
All right. Varun Shankar, Washington Post, with us here on the Hoffman Show, breaking down the Wizards draft and what is next for them. And of course, in the immediacy tonight, second round of the 2025 NBA draft, they now have pick 43. Of course, they had 40. They traded it away in along with Poole and Sadiq Bey for CJ McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second. So they were without a pick tonight until they traded back last night from 18 to 21, picked up number 43 in the process, and then took Will Riley. We'll talk to Will Riley's college coach coming up at 6 p.m., Brad Underwood. But next, actually, Anthony, we can do one of two things. We can be on schedule and be on topic, and we can talk about the Wizards draft, and we can take calls from folks, or we can talk about your pending trip to Paris. Because we need to talk about that at some point in the show. We can save that till later. But, like, this is Anthony's last show for a week plus. And he's going to Paris. And we got to talk about that. Should we take calls next and save Paris for later? Okay. You're not getting... We're talking about your trip to Paris.
Oh, but, yes. I can't wait.
But we're talking about the Wizards draft with you next. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. What do you make of the Wizards drafting Trey Johnson and Will Riley last night in the 2025 NBA draft?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
301-230-0980 is the phone number where you can chime in on the Wizards NBA draft. We'll also talk a little bit more about some other teams in the draft coming up. 301-230-0980, of course, the phone number. And a little bit more now from Will Dawkins as we await the phone calls. Of course, the general manager of the Wizards, who spoke last night, late night, after the draft finally got done. I'm not going to lie, Anthony. I felt myself getting real sleepy around pick 16, and I was like, I got to make it to 18. And they took a commercial before both the Wizards picks. They took a commercial.
Yeah, DA pointed that out. And I mean, to be honest, that probably always does happen.
I mean, I don't know. I'm trying not to do a lot of conspiracies, but they conspired against me, I'll put it that way. So I'm like, oh no. And I close my eyes. The next thing I know, I wake up. Rachel's like, hey, we need to go upstairs, because she had already fallen asleep on the couch. The Hoffmans were tired. And I see it's pick 21, Utah, proposed trade Washington. I'm like, oh no, I missed the pick, because I was asleep. I was like, oh no, I missed the pick. And then I see that, wait, the Wizards are on the clock right now. With the 21st pick, the Utah Jazz, parentheses Washington Wizards, take Will Riley, guard, Illinois. Watch the Jay Billis thing. I'm like standing up in front of the TV at this point so I don't fall back asleep, remote in hand, ready to turn it off and go upstairs. Can we just make the draft earlier? I also don't think it needs to be two nights. I know they're trying to get, but like, is anyone going to watch the second round tonight? Are you going to watch the second round tonight?
No.
Yeah. I want to know who they take. I will have it available to flip to when the Wizards get on the clock, but I will not be watching the second round in totality. And I love the NBA draft. So I don't think we need it. I think if we started the first round at like six, get done earlier, and then you could have the second
six
to make room for the second round.
Oh, okay.
Maybe seven.
Cram it all in one day.
But then, like, it already ends at, I mean, last night ended at like 12:30, didn't it? I don't know. I was long asleep. But it ended late. And, you know, there's a lot, like, and again, it's not all about media folks, but like, it's just the GMs have to kind of wait to the end of the round in case there's trade stuff to do their press conferences. It's just becomes an unnecessarily late night for an event that could start basically any time. Of course, you want it in prime time on TV. I guess you don't want to start it too early, because like a 6 o'clock start is 3 o'clock on the West Coast. So for like television purposes, that is probably a little early, but I don't know. Also, the second round could just go really fast, like 2 minutes per pick. Like, let's just roll through it. Maybe you start at 7 o'clock Eastern. I don't know. Just some thoughts. I'm sure there's very smart people in the NBA league office who have thought about these things and are like, hey, man, just, you know, have some coffee and stay up later. Anyway, more from Will Dawkins now on the draft last night. Of course, the Wizards general manager taking two players, Trey Johnson and Will Riley. And I will say Trey Johnson will have to learn some things about how the Wizards do business, including which things are secret and which things are not, which led to a pretty funny question, because apparently he told media folks about how Will showed him some tape and some of the plays that he maybe took off in college and how that wasn't going to work in the pros during their visit. Very honest, very cool thing. I like that strategically. Will Dawkins obviously does too. He just doesn't want other people to know that he does it.
I got to get in front of him and tell him stop sharing house secrets, first off. I don't know if it was highlights, lowlights, or what it is, but when we bring guys in, we make sure that we get a feel for who they are. They get a feel for who we are and spend a lot of time here. And we're not going to sugarcoat everything. Michael and I, it's important to be transparent. There's a lot to like with Trey. But there are some areas he's got to grow in, just like every other 19-year-old player. And we'd rather address it on the front end, see if he can improve upon it, see what his answers are. And it was just fun banter conversations. I'd say He had a film session with BK and the coaching staff. It was probably a little nicer than mine. But in both of those, he showed his IQ, and that's what really stood out. His ability to remember plays, his ability to say, what could you have done differently? During the workout, we'd throw him in positions and offense and the plays that we run and see how quickly he picks up on it. And the guy's a sponge. He has a high IQ. So the film sessions were fun, but he's got to keep that to himself next time.
I think that's hilarious. That he's like, hey, man, no. But this is what happens when you're dealing with 18 and 19-year-old kids. And, you know, I don't think the idea of a film session is overly secretive. I think it's how do you treat it? Like, what are those sessions like? That's the details that I think are the secret sauce. And obviously, it seems like the Wizards more than know what they're doing in those sessions, how to make an impression on a player and how to, you know, make that those sessions count to select the right players, which actually leads to an interesting question that Dawkins was asked later in the press conference on whether players are selling themselves to the Wizards or the Wizards are selling themselves to the players. It's a draft, so it's not like they have a choice, but you want players to feel good about where they're going. So how does that process work?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. It's a partnership. What Michael and I are trying to do with the organization, we're pretty direct with that. And we're probably not for everybody. Like, what we're trying to do is different, and you got to want to be here and a part of that. And we bring guys in and they meet with different people within the organization to get a real feel for what it's like. Like, not only what's your job, but how do you help players? If I were to be here, how would you help me? So they know exactly what they're getting into, and it's not the right partnership for everybody, but I think players who are serious about basketball and want to work and bet on themselves and use the resources that we're going to give them are typically good matches for that.
Again, Will Dawkins, Wizards general manager. On Will Riley, they risked not getting Will Riley, because if this was their guy, they ultimately traded back. They had the pick at 18, trade back to 21. So how or what was the thought process there? Will Dawkins asked and answering last night.
Yeah, there's a lot that you can imagine that goes on. We're fortunate to have a deep staff that can have multiple conversations with agents, multiple conversations with other teams, and we're just tracking our guys throughout the draft. Will's someone that when he first came in, we knew he kind of fit our profile. We spent a lot of time on the grassroots watching and seeing who he is as a player there. He was different than when he was at Illinois. I think towards the end of the season, when they had some injuries, they put the ball in his hands a little bit, and you could see who he was back when he was playing with UPlay and playing in Canada. So we knew the type of player he was. He was someone we were looking for. And again, it's our job to be strategic as possible, get the most value we can for the future, but also try to make sure we get players that we like. And that deal presented itself, and it was probably the best deal at the time that we felt very comfortable with.
So that's how the trade ultimately goes down for Will Riley. On what he, like, why Will Riley? Here's Dawkins on the number 21 pick.
Size, versatility, high processing speed. He's, again, like I said, he's one of those guys who works. He had a massive growth spurt, and you just look at his face and his body, the way he's built, he's still growing. So he's somebody that we feel confident is going to come in the gym and push people and develop at his own time. But he has ball skills. He can make plays, assist to turnover ratio, and he's probably a better defender than people give him credit for. But we're going to test that out right away in summer league and make him guard.
The wry smile on Will Dawkins' face as he said that was priceless. It's like, what, like, we'll see exactly what he is, because we're going to, like, the competitiveness. I think that's what I enjoy the most about, like, both these players, Anthony, but, like, what I enjoy the most about Will is there's a feistiness to him that is healthy and competitive, and, like, these guys want to win. And I think it's important to say, because it's obvious that there's a lot of losing that's happened. Like, there are scoreboards, we know, but for, and they're doing it for a reason. They're strategic, but it's not like a bunch of nerds sitting in the back room, like punching spreadsheets, being like, oh yeah, we are on track today. Like, these are competitive people. Like, Will played college basketball. Like, this is a guy, who played at Emerson. He wasn't playing like D1 hoop, but still, like, this is a really, 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 really competitive person. You've played with him in the media game. Like, he likes to rib people. He is just one of those people that if you're around professional sports long enough, you like go, oh, you're one of those guys. Positive. And I just, it's got to suck for them to, like, lose this much, even if you know it's kind of it's got to happen. But I think it's a good reminder to hear some of what they're doing and get the insight into their thought process to be like, Oh, yeah. No, at the end of the day, like, these are people that desperately want to win, and they just understand that there's some pain that it's going to take, and they're willing to go through that process and not shortcut it. And that's hard, but also, I think, important and impressive. So that is Will Dawkins, the Wizards general manager. Perhaps a little bit more even of him later. I will say real quick, question in the chat from Multiverse Joe on YouTube. No questions about Kelly Olynyk. Will they use him as a center relief or just as a coach for Alex until they trade him? I would assume he will play minimal minutes. I mean, he might even, he could be a guy that starts and plays 15 minutes a game, depending on what they want to do with Sarr and who else at that five position. That is the one position on the roster where I'm like, seem a little thin there. So we'll have to see what happens in free agency. And that's the thing, is like, the optimal word right now, I think, is flexibility. Certainly, if Olynyk can come in and play well, will they try to flip him at the deadline? Possibly. But I also think it's important to remember on Olynyk and Smart and all these guys that there's also an incentive to let their contracts expire and have the cap space next summer to be able to take on bad contracts and get draft capital. So it basically, the calculation, my guess would be, are you able to get more in return at the deadline or by letting the contract expire and being a dumping ground in the offseason? And those are not known commodities. You don't know for sure how that's going to go down by the deadline. You have to take your best guess, but I do think that is a good question and something that on the bigger picture is worth pointing out. All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, it'll be 5:30 on Thursday. That's time for Never Read the Comments.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Coming up at 6 p.m., Brad Underwood, the head coach at the University of Illinois, joins us to talk about Will Riley, the second of the Wizards' two first-round picks. But Anthony, It is time for the thing that we do at 5:30 on Thursdays, where we put on our virtual hazmat suits. And we don't flex. I was putting on a hazmat suit. Anthony was like, "Huh," just because you've been doing a lot of bicep curls because you don't do leg day. You only just lift upper body.
Hey, I do legs.
No, you don't.
Not often.
No, you don't. You skip leg day.
Occasionally.
Regularly.
Hey, look, I'm gonna go to the gym when I'm in Paris, and I'm gonna be doing legs, and I'm gonna send you a video.
Okay, great. Great. And then when you get back, are you gonna do it again, or are you gonna wait another month?
No, I'm gonna do it again.
Okay. What have I programmed of you had a crazy leg. Anyway, we don't need to get sidetracked by Anthony's lack of leg days. The point is, it's time for Never Read the Comments.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, this here radio show that is live for 3 hours a day, when I remember to hit go on it, is chopped up into pieces and put on YouTube. We've been a little lighter on some of the on-demand content because of the nature of news lately. It's like, hey, are we going to put chop up our NBA draft preview and post it the next day? No, because the draft happened. But we still have plenty of things, especially on some of our rankings that we're doing for Take Command. And that is where a lot of the comments come this week, Anthony. So on top of our hazmat suit, or maybe under our hazmat suit, you got your Commander's Analyst hat on?
Yes, sir.
All right, excellent. So we did offensive and defensive rankings on Take Command. Last week, offensive rankings. This week, defensive rankings. That podcast out now. We'll play a little bit for you tomorrow here on the radio if you're not also a Take Command listener. But I'm going to play it for you if you're a Take Command listener too. You're just going to listen double. The point is, on the defensive rankings, Anthony, we actually had the Giants' defense ranked very well. Their defensive line we had is the best in the division. Over the Eagles, over the Commanders, who actually came in last, over the Cowboys. I might have pushed Logan to put the Commanders third, and the Cowboys wound up being last. But no, we wound up with the Cowboys third because of Micah Parsons' existence. So, sorry, that is what it is, even if I like the depth of the Commanders better. Their linebackers ranked out very, very well. And their secondary, actually, with the work they did adding Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland in the offseason, I think we actually had them first or second in our rankings, which feels crazy, but like, go look at the holes and the question marks in the other secondaries in the NFC East, including the Eagles. And so Aid Smith, RB7CE, says, I'm not afraid of the Giants D, nor am I afraid of the other two because of JD5, our O-line, and the coaching. And I think that actually is an important point, right? Is when we do these rankings, we're ranking what's in front of us. Like, we're ranking the Giants' D-line. We're ranking, you know, the Eagles' secondary. What we're not really ranking is, like, we're ranking it relative to the other teams. We're not ranking it relative to the context of the environment in which it exists. The Giants' D-line might be really good, but their offense is so bad that the numbers at the end of the year, I don't think, are going to look great for the Giants. Like, they're terrifying from a pass rush standpoint, right? They've got Abdul Carter. If Kayvon Thibodeau can just be a pass rusher, can he finally pop a little bit more? Obviously, Brian Burns is very, very good. Their interior guys are excellent, and Dexter Lawrence is as good as any player in the division, including Micah Parsons, including Jalen Carter. Like, Lawrence is sick at what he does. But if they can never score, teams might be able to get a couple things on their secondary, because even though their secondary relatively is good, there's a ton of questions throughout the entire division. I don't know that it is good. It's just better than the other ones, and it has its own questions. And so if teams can just hit quick, easy passes, take the D-line kind of out of the game, get up a couple scores, then run the football and not care if they get 3 yards a carry, then like, it's their pass rush never becomes a factor. And so that's the thing that I think is worth pointing out, is just because, say, the Giants have pretty good rankings on our little graphic that we make to accompany these episodes, doesn't mean that the Giants' defense, nevertheless, the Giants as a football team, are actually scary if you're the Commanders, because we're not putting any weight behind this. The Commanders, their offensive rankings aren't great in our rankings, outside of the fact that they have the best quarterback. And that's way more important than the other stuff. And I think that is kind of the unsaid part about this that I now have said here and Never Read the Comments.
Yeah, I mean, I get, you know, the coaching stuff does matter. But also, I'm just under the impression, you know, players go out there and play. And I think from face value, when you look at, you know, what they do have on that defensive line and then adding Abdul Carter to it, I think it makes the D, to me, I think the D line is the scariest in the NFL. They have a dominant front. And then when you talk about the free agent acquisitions as well, you can talk about that too. But I think the front four is what matters the most when I look at the Giants defensive line. I mean, defense. And it's the
most really
intimidating in the division. So I have no problem with it, to be honest.
Yeah, they're really good. But that doesn't mean the Giants are going to be really good. And we're allowed to have both of those things be true. On the offensive side of the ball, we were talking about Jaden Daniels, who we did rank as the top quarterback in the division. But KZH7475 didn't want to stop there. He goes, yeah, you guys listen to the national pundits who really can't bring themselves to really believe in this team. Jaden is not the fifth best quarterback in the NFL, which is what we said, behind the universally, except for this guy, accepted Big Four. He is no less than third best. Other than JD, only Mahomes and Allen have won big with very little around them. Didn't Joe Burrow go to a Super Bowl? He's actually been farther than Allen and Jackson. So it would seem like he's earned some stuff. Lamar has been probably the best player in football the last 2 years. He won the MVP 2 years ago. Allen gets it this past year. But Lamar was significantly better in 24 than he was in 23. Just that Allen was just as good in 24, which, again, I would have actually voted Allen the MVP in 23 and Lamar in 24. The other voter, or the actual voters, got that backwards, in my opinion. But point is, like, Jaden was great last year. No one is saying he was bad. No one is saying that he isn't, doesn't have the potential to keep going. But, like, the other guys have done it at such a high level for so long. And the difference statistically is there in terms of efficiency as well. When you watch the games, there's just a higher level of processing. And I think Jaden can, and if I had to bet, will get there. But it's okay to not be in a rush. And it's okay to acknowledge the greatness of other players. And I don't get how you watch Lamar Jackson last year, how you watch Joe Burrow last year, who from a pure, like, spectacularness standpoint were probably even better than Allen and certainly better than Mahomes, but Mahomes has the rings, and say that Daniels was better than that. I mean, he was awesome, but he wasn't better than those guys, even with what the support that they had of Lamar having Derrick Henry, obviously Burrow having Chase and Higgins.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to say Jaden was better than a two-time MVP and then also a guy that's led his team to the Super Bowl. Again, like, I think guys just got to, you know, take a step back, relax, take in this season, see how it goes. Again, like, this guy, Jaden, like, he did burst into the scene. But at the same token, you know, not teams don't have a ton of film on them. They got years and years on Burrow and Lamar, and they've done it also at a high level for years. So just let Jaden, his performance, like, let it unfold and let it reflect, and then let him be the one that go out there and, you know, show that, you know, he's probably better than those other quarterbacks. But if he goes out there and wins an MVP, if he goes out there and wins a Super Bowl, all right, we can make the argument, but don't discredit those other guys.
And if he's doing the stuff that they do, if he's, you know, throwing more consistently over the middle of the field for big chunk yardage, if he is doing less of his work scrambling, or he does just as much and, like, he proves it wasn't kind of fluky, and but he also situationally it's better deployed. Like, there's just, I know it's hard to say, like, oh, he can be better than he was last year, because from a results standpoint it's hard to believe, but, like, he actually can get better, and that's the difference between him as the fifth best quarterback in the league and him as the second best quarterback in the league. It's a fine margin, but, like, when you're talking about greatness happens in slivers. Greatness happens in small margins when you're trying to separate great from greater, if you will. We had a mailbag question on Take Command as well that got a few responses. It's never read the comments here on the Hoffman Show. The mailbag question, Anthony, was about tempo and whether we should be worried that, like many of the other newfangled offenses that have happened in the NFL, whether it be RG3 in 2012 with the zone read or some of the other things that teams have done that were seen as innovative, the Dolphins and the Wildcat, etc. Are teams going to catch on to that in year two with Daniels? And what can Jaden and Cliff do about it to avoid a second year slump? And one of the things that Logan talked about in the answer was they're able to access a ton of their offense. Like the problem with hurry up often is it's like 5% of your playbook is accessible. You have a couple of hand signals, you have a couple of quick calls, but you're very limited in what you can run. Because Kliff has seemingly, and from what we know about their offensive verbiage, made things very easy to call. Often things are 1, 2, 3, 4 words, and everyone knows exactly what they're supposed to do. The entire playbook almost is open. And so Jeffrey Meehan, 31-16, says, incredibly brief verbiage that enables an up-tempo offense is actually a cornerstone of the Earhart Perkins system that Kliff would have learned in New England and the Air Raid school where the entire playbook is simplified. So we're getting a history lesson here, Anthony. Gotta love that in the comments. The West Coast system and its adherents, like the people on the Shanahan coaching tree, love the long verbiage. Bill Walsh believed in planning out literally everything. That's one reason why John Gruden never developed a young QB. He insisted on the full recitation. And there's a lot of truth to that. There is a famous clip of Chris Sims, the now PFT host and NBC contributor, who was, I think, a rookie. If this is not you, I apologize, but I'm pretty sure it was Chris Sims. When they were in Tampa and Chris was trying to make it in the league, of him not being able to get this super long play right, and John Gruden's just crushing him. Just like you would thought Chris Sims is the dumbest person on the planet. And it's like, no, this is like a really long, complex play call, and it's F, shift, right, blah, 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 can, blah, 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 check, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, bro, you just called 3-paragraph-long plays, and you wanted this guy that's been here a week to get it right? But like, that's the position in the West Coast offense. Versus, I remember reading a feature about some of the Brady teams that went into more up-tempo at times, and how it would literally just be like blue. And Brady would say blue and everyone knew what to do. And I don't know exactly how simple the verbiage is. That's something that I haven't asked around enough about of like, hey, can you give me a play call? And I don't know if they would. It used to be a pet project of mine. I used to love tracking like verbiage in plays, calls, and did some stories on it when I was on the beat and the whole deal. But it is very, very clear there is a very simple language system that allows this team to get to a ton of stuff. And if you have all the possible answers available at speed, that's, and a quarterback, by the way, who can make the decisions correctly once the ball has been snapped, that is definitely stuff for an offense, and especially one that is designed to put defenses at a disadvantage with the tempo, but also like formations. Like, it's layered in terms of its complexity. But some of the things that Kliff does with his wide receiver splits and the where he places a guy like Zach Ertz, like, it gives jaded information and makes things really, really easy once the ball is snapped. And so I do think that there's going to be staying power in year two for this this tempo.
Yeah, I mean, I love the up-tempo offense. I mean, it worked for us. It seemed like, you know, something Jaden was comfortable with doing. And I think the offense itself loves it as well, so I expect more of it, to be honest.
I do too. And they're also really smart about how they use it. They don't rush to it. And they also will use no huddle without going fast. And I think that's another delineation that's important, right? Like, sometimes they just get a group of defenders on the field that they want to go against. And it's like, okay, we're going to go no huddle and we're not going to sub, but we're not actually going to go fast. So it's like, everybody get to the huddle. Oh no, defense, we can't sub. We don't have time. And they're not going to stop the game for us to sub because they didn't sub. And then Kliff is just staring at the defense. Like, okay, you got one too many linebackers on the field because I got this personnel grouping. Let's get Austin here. Let's get Zach here. Let's get Terry lined up in this mismatch, whatever it is, and let's cook. And, like, being able to do that, you know, the old be quick but don't hurry, John Wooden basketball mantra actually kind of works as a way for the Commanders offensively as well. Terry McLaurin, another topic of conversation this week in the comments, thanks to the Take Command mailbag. We got a question, Anthony, did Logan and I, about would Terry be seen differently if he was a first-round pick versus a third-round pick? And we're talking about how he's talked about around the league and the contractual obligations. Drew some interesting feedback. One, we got this from DC Jamming. I love Terry, but if you take the name out of it, $30 million a year for a 30-year-old wide receiver is insane. Even though we have the cap room now, that will surely come back to bite us. I just don't agree with that. Like, people are people. They're all individuals. And there are certainly some guiding principles. I'm not saying you should just ignore and, like, hey, flashing red light, don't stop. Like, no, that's a stop sign. I mean, you should go, let's stop. Let's survey the scene. Okay, there's no cars here. Keep on going. And that's kind of how I treat this. It's like, yes, Terry is 30 years old. He came into the league a little older with a little less mileage on him because of his snap count being lower and the role he played at Ohio State. And there is literally no signs of him slowing down. There are zero signs. Maybe the fastest he's ever looked in the NFL was last year. We've been waiting for years. Like, one of the highlights I remember of him at Ohio State when he came out that I remember watching was like him catching a slant and taking it like 80 yards to the house. And I was like, who's this kid that the Commanders just drafted? Holy crap, this is going to be fun. And then I don't think he ever had a touchdown like that until this past year. We're in back-to-back games in the playoffs. The last two games of the season, he took a screen pass 50 yards against the Lions. And then people forget this because it feels like they lost 55-0, but it wasn't actually 55-0. In the Eagles game, he caught a slant on Darius Slay, ran away from him and everybody else and took it to the house. Like, yes, is he 30? Or will he be 30, I think, in September? Yes. But has he shown any signs of decline? Not a single one. And at that point, you just have to go, all right, we're guaranteeing money for 2 years. I'm good with that. That's how I see it. I'm sure the Commanders are trying to make some kind of different argument, at least from a guarantees or a money standpoint. But like, to me, for Terry, the age thing, not that I'm looking to give him a 7-year deal, but like more or less the age doesn't matter.
No, I'm in full agreement with you. There are no signs of him slowing down. So I don't see why we wouldn't, you know, give him what he's asking for kind of thing. And if we don't, I'm pretty sure there's going to be another team that is out there that will be willing to, you know, give him the money. So I'd rather not lose this guy. He's meant so much to the organization. And I think now that he finally has a quarterback, we're finally starting to see like what he ultimately could be.
Right. He's been the same guy the whole time. And last year, the big difference was the quarterback. But like, okay, is he not going to do that with a really great quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem like what's going to happen. All right. We also had this thought on Terry, which I thought was more correct in terms of what we think about his public, like the view of him in the public and maybe even amongst teams. Young Feet, spelled P-H-E-E-T, 7, says, I don't know if this has anything to do with draft position. Tyreek Hill was a fifth-round pick. The Commanders were just unwatchable as a franchise for most of his career. I do think winning affects the way we view players in every single sport. And this sounds silly, but in an unreasonable way. Like, we will overrate guys on winning teams and underrate guys on losing teams. Because it's like, well, how good could he really be? They're losing. Oh, that guy's obviously awesome. He was a part of a championship team. And I'm not saying Tyreek is overrated. And I think it's also worth pointing out that nobody ever doubted Tyreek Hill's talent. Tyreek Hill did an abominable thing in college. I believe he hit his pregnant girlfriend down a flight of stairs. And that's why he was a late round pick. And a lot of teams would not have touched him with a 10-foot pole. And the continuation of him and domestic violence related stories since he's been a pro, I think justifies that. But, as a talent, certainly people look at him as a superstar. And I think part of the reason he gets away with reputationally with the absolute heinous things he's done or alleged to have done off the field is because he's awesome at football. And he's a different caliber of player, purely as a player, than Terry. I do think, though, that the stink of the burgundy and gold did hurt Terry in terms of like, okay, yeah, he's a 1,000-yard receiver, but like someone has to catch passes in Washington. And then people were like, oh, actually, he's not just someone. He's catching those passes and doing the damage because he's Terry freaking McLaurin. And that means something different than what we thought. All right. You ready for some fun to end here at the expense of my good friend, Tony Squares?
Yes, sir.
So we did on our my YouTube show that I do on Mondays with my guy, Tony Squares, who's a content creator on the interwebs. We did our NFC power rankings, Tony's power rankings to be specific. And, you know, he had a good start and then things got a little sideways when he at number 5 put the Dallas Cowboys. And The Commanders were still on the board. He put the 49ers at 6 and then the Commanders at 7. And you ready for the reactions to that, Anthony?
Uh-oh.
Jay reacts with 2 Z's. Never have him on again. Thanks.
Spencer gracious.
Spencer Calvert, 5851. Have consistently watched your collaboration videos. I feel like I understand your mutual and different analysis styles and can understand the usual deviation. This is a fever dream ranking and someone should call Tony.
Oh my gosh.
Next one. Nobody wants Dak. That's that dude. He lost all credibility when he put the Bucks at 3. I actually don't, like, would I have the Commanders higher than the Bucks? I think so. But, like, maybe not. The Bucks are going to be really good. That one, that's not where he lost me. Carlos Allen, 46-16. Craig, your boy is a straight hater. Lee Rubenstein, 24-46. Give me some of what he's smoking. And a couple more. Final Anthony, which is different than you, Anthony. Someone check this guy's water. And then Metaphor Ariel says, this guy's a Twitter-grade analyst.
Man, they're going hard.
They are, and he kind of deserved it because it feels ridiculous. Then again, it's June, so what do we know? I do think one of the funniest comments that is like an internet comment that pops up a lot is they should make podcast equipment more expensive. One, I always tend to respond to that with, this is a radio show, which I did get to do on our women's sports page this week. Someone responded and her name was Karen. So I got to go, it's a radio show, Karen.
Oh my God.
What's your name? What do you want me to do? But like, can we think for 5 seconds about what that means? They should make podcast equipment more expensive. So you just want a bunch of rich a-holes who don't know anything about anything to do podcasts? No, they should make podcast equipment behind like a license. You have to have a license to podcast. You have to know something about something and not just be a lonely person who thinks people want to hear your voice, says the guy who's been talking into microphones for 15 years. I went to journalism school for this. What's your excuse, Anthony?
I went to journalism school for this.
There we go. We went to journalism school for this. For some of you, probably doesn't have a lot of faith in journalism institutions in America. But, you know, we can fight those battles another day. We get back. Brad Underwood, the head coach of the Fighting Illini of Illinois, which means last year he was the coach for Will Riley, brand new Wizards draftee. He joins us next on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grede, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grede, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.